It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Katie.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Katie, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, I want to give a big shout out to our very loyal sponsors, The Snail Box. The Snail Box is a one-of-a-kind pub and restaurant in County Meath. It is between Ashburn and Slane on the N2. As you're driving towards Slane, it's on the left-hand side at Kilmoon Cross. It's literally 20 minutes from the M50, and it is just one of the most fantastic dining experiences you will have. And right now, they're on a mission to set a Guinness World Record for the largest collection of baseball caps on public display. And they need your help. If you're away anywhere around the world, buy a baseball cap, or if you have one at home, pop into the Snail Box with your baseball cap, and their collection is all unique. In other words, every single baseball cap they have on display is different to the others. So bring in a baseball cap from anywhere around the world and they will swap it for one of their own baseball caps, so you're never without a baseball cap. Anytime I go away, I buy two or three, depending on where we are, bring them into the Snail Box and they give us three hats in return, so we're never without one. As I said, the Snail Box is just 20 minutes from the M50. It has breathtaking panoramic views of counties Meath, Dublin and Louth. And it's more than just a dining spot. It's an absolute experience. It is only 10 minutes from Emerald Park. If you're taking the kids there, swing by the Snail Box afterwards. It's only 10 minutes away. And let them know that Adrian and Jeremy and Katie and everyone on Opinions Matter told you to pop in. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? Yesterday, we released a special episode of this podcast, and it was called Exclusive. I found out my mom was dead on a WhatsApp from the clinic. And it was the sad story of a lady called Maureen Slough, who lived in Cavan and only recently became a grandmother again to a young child by her daughter, Megan. And Megan and Maureen had a great relationship. Maureen had been troubled with mental health issues for a number of years. Anyway, unbeknownst to anybody, Maureen travelled to Switzerland a couple of weeks back in July, and she signed into a clinic over there called Pegasus, and she voluntarily took her own life. After an attempted suicide last year here in Ireland, she decided that she just didn't want to live anymore, and she travelled to Switzerland, which is the only country in the whole of Europe that allows assisted suicide, which is very different to euthanasia. So,
is it different?
No, completely different. Yeah,
because I didn't realise they were different.
Okay, here in Ireland, we're debating bringing in assisted dying laws, but this will generally apply to people who are terminally ill. Somebody who's going to die anyway, maybe in a lot of pain, maybe has a non-curable cancer diagnosis or whatever. Mm-hmm. Somebody who is eventually going to die anyhow. Our assisted dying bill would enable a clinician, a doctor, to help that person on their way.
Okay, so somebody with severe MS or terminal cancer,
correct,
or something like
somebody
that.
Somebody who's not going to get better.
So an elderly person couldn't go in and be like, I'm done, I'm tired.
No. Okay. But in Switzerland, their law allows assisted suicide. So the difference here is, you go into this clinic, they set you up. No, obviously you're checked out medically and everything else, but you could be perfectly fit and healthy, as Maureen was, perfectly fit and healthy, may have had some mental health issues, but she was physically perfect. And she,
isn't that still suicide though, if you're doing it here in Ireland with an illness? Isn't that the same thing? It's suicide is suicide, no?
Yes, but it will if the law ever comes in here, it will only be granted to people who are terminally ill.
Oh, sorry, so they're dying anyway. It's just stopping them suffering along the way. Okay.
Where with Maureen was physically perfect, and she just decided she had had enough, and she wanted off this mortal coil, as they say.
I could not get that girl out of my head last night.
Nor me, I'll be honest. But I tell you who else I couldn't get out of my head, and that is Maureen. Okay, so Maureen travelled to Switzerland to end her life because she had attempted suicide last year. She failed. And obviously, I mean, if you think about it, most suicide deaths are violent deaths. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Whether it be hanging or...
Drowning or
whatever, they are violent deaths. They're not comfortable deaths. Maureen, by contrast, would have died very peacefully. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the way it works in that particular clinic, you go in, they put an IV drip into your arm, and you're the person who opens the IV drip. Okay, you're the person.
Even as you're saying, I know we spoke to her yesterday, but even as you're saying,
but it's just the same as jumping off the stool with a rope around your neck. You're the person who's doing it.
It's actually probably a nicer way.
Correct. So Maureen was lying in a bed, and she had Elvis music playing, and she turned on that drip, and she slowly went to sleep and was dead a while later. Okay, that was her exit. The question that I'm asking is, after that conversation yesterday, should we have assisted suicide, which is different from assisted dying?
So you're saying that if somebody is basically done with life, they've made the decision, I don't want to be here anymore, this is my decision, and they should be able to go in and do it the way she did. Now, I have to be honest with you, myself and Adrian were talking about this before we came on air, and I said, nobody's going to agree with that. I said, nobody's going to say that somebody who wants to die should be able to go in and die if they're not already dying. And then Adrian...
Do you remember the story of the 104-year-old Australian man who travelled all the way to Switzerland from Australia because he wanted to die? There was nothing actually physically wrong with him. He wasn't going to die anytime soon. He was 104, but he was just fed up. Mm-hmm. He just said, meh, I've had enough of this. And he travelled all the way to Switzerland to do exactly what Maureen did. He wasn't terminally ill or anything of the sort. He just wanted to end his life.
Do you know what I couldn't get out of my head last night? Maybe this is dark, or it's maybe the human curiosity, because it's all instinctive. You know, the night before she stayed in this clinic, she would have known that she was waking up the next morning. It's like going for surgery. You know, you stay in the hospital the night before sometimes or whatever, or you stay close by to the hospital and you're going to get prepped the next day. But you know you're going to wake up when you go to sleep, or at least you hope you are.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman walked down knowing her fate and being so okay with it.
But similarly, and I don't want to be too calculating about it, but similarly, if you're buying a rope and you're making a noose and you're strapping the noose into your attic,
I think it's just...
Is it not the exact same? You're literally preparing for...
These clinics give me the chills. They honestly do. Even talking about it, I'm getting goosebumps, because it's not... Obviously, someone getting to pass away in a peaceful way is obviously much better than dying a painful death. But it's the thought that you walk into this clinic and there's these rooms, and you're going to walk into this room and end your life, and you know it's accepted, and it's just it's.
You've
so
heard the expression, okay? In this country, I'm not necessarily campaigning for this or anything of the sort, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
You played it to me earlier on.
In this country, about 500 people every year take their own lives. Okay, that's a sad statistic.
Sad.
It really is. It's extremely
terrible.
Sad. Yeah. I hate to hear of anybody taking their own lives, but for some people, the pain that they're living, be physical pain or mental pain or whatever,
is
just too much to bear. They just can't deal. They can't deal with it anymore. And the question that I'm asking is, should we not enable them? Because ultimately, as with Maureen, it's Maureen that took her own life. She had that final decision. She's the one that said, I've had enough. I want out of here. Okay. An expression that we all use regularly is my body, my choice.
Well, like I said to the listeners before this, I was saying to Adrian, nobody's going to agree with a person who's otherwise physically healthy and where there's hope. And then you painted that scenario to me, and I even found myself like, Jesus, you're actually making a very, very, very good point, a very valid point.
So in Ireland, suicide is not illegal. It used to be, although, as we said earlier on, the most unenforceable law ever, suicide. But it used to be illegal to take your own life. It's now not illegal to take your own life. So what is wrong with taking your own life in a more dignified way? And the only thing somebody has to assist you with is putting a drip into your arm. That's it. That's all they have to do. And then you do the rest.
I would always be of the opinion, while there's still a heartbeat and while there's still blood running through your veins, that there's hope. And my worry would be that a clinic like this in Ireland or around, you know, in Ireland would mean that somebody who still has hope, I know if they've made that decision, they've made it anyway.
That's the point.
I know that. But my thought is, it's if you're still alive, there's still hope. There's always hope. There's always
hope. You can't
help.
Force hope onto somebody. If somebody
it's
has decided, if
so
somebody
hard.
Has decided, I've just had enough.
This is the first topic we've ever done where I am genuinely in complete conflict with what I originally thought, because I get what you're saying. But I don't think if I had a loved one or a friend who turned around and said to me, you know, I'm done, I need to go and do this, I don't think I could ever say, yeah, you know, I agree with what you're doing, because there's people out there fighting to live. People out there fighting cancer and, you know, people out there.
But there are other people who've just given up the will to live, who've just had enough. What's wrong with them?
But where there's life, there's hope. That would be my opinion. And is that taken away?
My argument is you can't force hope onto somebody. Obviously, you try to help somebody. Obviously, you try to encourage them not to go down that road. But ultimately, and what happens generally where it comes to suicide, is the person ends up doing it without any knowledge of any family members. They just do it.
Very conflicted today, because like you say, I think once somebody makes a decision like this, I think it's made, and if someone's going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. And I do, you do.
And Maureen's story is a great example. The woman had decided and made her own mind up that she lied to everybody, didn't tell anybody what she was up to, because she knew they'd all tried to talk her out of it, and she had made that decision that that's what she was doing. And she did it perfectly legally, in a perfectly dignified way.
If it went to the polls tomorrow, would I vote yes for someone who's health otherwise healthy and not terminally ill? I don't think I could do it. Even though I get what you're saying, I don't think I did.
Okay, but that's the conversation that we want to have with you. It's an important conversation. I know it's a very serious, heavy conversation, but it's a very important conversation to have. Should we, as they have in Switzerland, allow people in full control of their faculties to end their lives?
I never realised that until yesterday, that in Switzerland you could. I thought the whole thing about it was you had to be able to prove that you were
terminally ill. No, you don't.
Anybody
is entitled to have full control of their own lives and end their own lives at a time of their choosing. That's Swiss law.
And what happens if she changes her mind then, or someone changes their mind after they open the cannula? What happens?
What happens if you change your mind as you're jumping out of the attic with a rope around your neck? What happens? It's too late.
Oh, that's very grim.
085 825 2626 is our WhatsApp number. Let's kick off with John.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Well, I know you were back yesterday doing the podcast, but welcome back live, I suppose, one would say. I don't see a problem with this. What happened to my body, my choice? If somebody wants to leave this world in a dignified manner, which I've seen a lot of people fucking just left there in a vegetative state, you know, and just fucking wanting out, as one would say. If somebody wants out, they should have a right to get out, you know. Give them the fucking right to let go and you know, instead of sitting there for the next 10 years in a fucking vegetative state, you know. I think it's disgraceful. It's my body, my choice. If I want to sign a fucking form to say, you know, in 20, 30 years' time, if I end up like that, I want out. So be it. What's wrong with it? That's it, guys. That's all I have to say on that. Have a great day. See you soon. Good luck.
Leona, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Leona?
How are you, guys?
Well, Leona, like I said, I know. I know it's a heavy conversation, but it is a conversation that we need to have sometime. What's your view on this? After the story that we heard yesterday, I don't know if you heard the podcast yesterday.
I did.
Okay, so you heard the whole story. It was heartbreaking. It absolutely was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking on Maureen's daughter in particular, because Megan knew absolutely nothing about what was happening. But you heard the whole story. This lady, Maureen, who's Megan's mother, clearly wanted to end things. She'd had enough. She wanted out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she did it in, you could argue, a dignified way. She would have died a very peaceful death rather than a violent death, playing music or whatever they do in the clinic. What do you think of that? Do you think somebody should have a right to die with some assistance by suicide?
Yes, 100%. I personally suffer with my mental health. And while people are saying, you know, it's a terminally ill situation. Your mental health is a terminally ill situation. For me, it is. Like, not a, like a terminally ill situation, but I suffer every day with my mental health.
Sometimes okay, now I know people will argue, and in fact, Megan argued as regards her mother, that she just wished she had the opportunity to get her more help. In other words, there is help available for somebody like you living with mental health difficulties.
Well, maybe Maureen was fed up waiting for it.
I think she probably was.
And, like, unless you suffer with your mental health and you're battling those demons, you don't know what's going on inside anyone's head. My mum died almost 14 years ago of cancer. And now, thankfully, she was mainly okay, like, going through the illness. But at the end, she wasn't my mum anymore. She wasn't who I knew was my mum. And if she'd have asked me to do something like that for her, I probably would have.
And I know I've spoken to many people in similar situations before, and they would love to be able to have the opportunity, I don't know, to put a pillow over somebody's head and be done with it. But
my husband is very different to me, and I said to him, I said, what would you do if I wanted to do this? He was like, I wouldn't do it. And I told him, I said, you're not going to stop me doing it. I said, I'll take someone else with me. I said, to sign the paperwork. I said, because if I want out of this world, obviously, if there was something and very, that, very serious.
Yeah, and that ultimately is what this conversation is about. That Katie, you own yourself. Mm. You own your own body. Mm-hmm. Nobody else owns your own body. You own it. And similarly, Leona, and similarly me.
If we have these clinics around and, you know, people can see them and they know what they are. Like, I know someone who's contemplating suicide is already contemplating it, but is it?
No, it's not the sort of place that
is
you
it
can
making
just,
it more appealing by making no, it like, such a nice not, experience.
Katie, can I just say something? I don't think, like, the idea of, like, committing suicide, I think, to anybody is not appealing, but they want out of this world, whatever is going on with them, whether it's physical pain, mental pain.
No, but what I mean is, if we normalise it, as in, you know, make it accessible.
So,
and
what, normalise it that you, woohoo, come on down here and die peacefully in a bed.
Don't put words in my mouth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as in, if we make, you know, it's this peaceful experience, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes people who don't take their own lives don't because, and I've spoken to people in the job I do before who've said, I got scared. If you put these clinics within easy access,
it's not the sort of place you just rock in off the street and say, how are you?
That's why I'm conflicted. I am so conflicted. Genuinely, I have never been this conflicted on any topic before in my life. And that's the God's honest truth.
Katie, like, loads of people are saying, so I'm just going to bring it back to the abortion referendum. People are saying the amount of abortions here now have skyrocketed. No, it's not the case of they've skyrocketed. They're legal now and people aren't going under the table or going into their wardrobe to take a co-hanger out and shove it up inside them because they don't want their baby. Mm-hmm. They're going to get it done legally now.
I take the point. I do. I just would be curious to see if the number, what's it at now, 500... You said in Ireland.
Oh, the suicide rate. Yeah. What do you think? It's a great way to take your life.
I would be curious to see if there would be any kind of an increase. If
the reality of it is, God love her and all of that. So somebody like Maureen
can't even.
Somebody like Maureen, if she hadn't gone to Switzerland to take her life the way she did, and by the way, it's important to state that she took her own life. She was the one that switched on that IV drip. She was the one that made that decision, okay?
Yeah. So, and guys, I know Kate, you were saying yesterday to Megan, do you know how long it took or why wasn't there a time of death on her mum's certificate? I actually looked into this last night. That drip takes a matter of seconds to work.
And in a matter of seconds, you've drifted off to sleep.
You're gone.
Yep.
You've drifted off to sleep and you're gone, I think, within a couple of minutes.
If these clinics were, you know, here in Ireland and, so, like I said, someone came to me, if they were sick and they were dying and they were in pain, I'd say yeah. And it would kill me to do it. It would kill me to accompany someone to do that. It would be horrific. But could I do it if there was hope? I absolutely could not. I couldn't. I just couldn't. I'd probably try
but
and
But Leona, you obviously believe, and this is what this conversation comes down to, you obviously believe And this is completely different, by the way, to the abortion debate, because with abortion...
Oh, yeah, I understand
With abortion, it is an adult human that is making the decision to terminate a pregnancy. Yes. In this case, this is an adult human making a decision to terminate their own life, not somebody else's, their own.
So they should.
Shouldn't they have that right? Like I said, to you, Katie, you own you.
I know that, but it's just... If someone's thinking about it, if these clinics are, you know, there and they think, oh, well, it's not going to be so bad, it's going to be, you know, you can just go in and fall asleep.
I don't think it's going to be a case of people will just decide.
You're not going to see ads on the telly on the 911 news tonight.
Come on down to our clinic.
Put words in my mouth. I don't think it's going to be a case that people will see the clinic and be like, oh, I think I'm going to go and, you know, do this. It's that people who don't do it might not do it because the fear of a violent death. And maybe that's what will bring them back from the brink. This is what I'm trying to say. But if they think that these clinics are there and you can go in and you can pass away peacefully, would it make them more likely to carry through with a plan? Because while there is life, there is hope. And
somebody just messaged us a second ago, you might see hope, Katie, but the individual may not. And that's the point, Leona. You obviously believe that as a human being, you reserve the right to end your life when you want to end it.
If that's the case that needs to be done, then yeah. Like, so Katie, what you're saying there is about hope. It's very, very valid, because while there is breath, there is hope. But it's not always going to be that way. While my mum was dying, she died at home. Thankfully, we were all surrounding her when she died. But those last couple of days with her was horrible. And while she was still breathing, we were all like, "This, you know, hopefully you'll get longer out of her." But she didn't want... I don't think she'd wanted to go the way she did in the end. Because you could see there was lots of pain and she was crying out for people that wasn't in the room with us. We knew that and she knew that. And it was horrible to watch. Now, we got that privilege to be with my mum, you know, and that was... Like, that's something that, like, very few people get to experience in their life. So if that's something that someone that's terminally ill... or mentally ill, they should have that choice and have their families with them if they want to.
Okay,
shouldn't have a say in it. The family should.
And that's ultimately what this comes down to. I mean, you're saying, Katie, when there's hope and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Megan even said yesterday, had she known in advance that her mum was going to do what she did, she would have spent weeks trying to talk her out of it. And your point, Leona, is you shouldn't have a say. It is the individual's choice in the end of the day.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so Megan, stay there for a second. I want to read a message that has just come in to us this very second. And it says the following. Have a listen to this. This might shock you and this might trigger you if you have somebody close to you that may have taken their lives in the past. Adrian, hide my name if you discuss this, please. I'm a firefighter and have been for the past 8 years. Last weekend, I attended my 16th suicide call-out. The 10th suicide by hanging I have had to personally deal with. I know that people who make the decision to take their own lives don't do it easily, but do they never stop to think about the devastation and carnage they are leaving behind? Every single time I attend these call-outs, I see firsthand people's lives literally falling apart in front of my eyes. Not to mention the mental impact it has on the emergency workers like myself who are cleaning up after it. This probably sounds very harsh, but am I the only one in thinking that suicide is actually very selfish? I would be so angry if one of my loved ones did it. I honestly would. To leave so much hurt and pain and so many unanswered questions, there is always help out there. I would say to anyone, please don't ruin your families and friends' lives by doing that. Think about what you are doing to the people that you love. It is selfish and it is cruel. Now, that's a counter-argument to what I've been talking about. I'll tell you why. Most people, when they are taking their lives, don't discuss with people in advance. They don't tell them at 5:20 today, I'm going to die by suicide. It is an act that they do on their own. And yes, they do leave behind devastation. In Maureen's case, had she let her family know, or when people using that service, generally their family know, it's a much different experience. You mightn't like the fact that the person wants to die. You mightn't support the fact that they want to die, but it won't come as big a shock. What do you make of that message, Leona?
Do you know, I can fully take what that man is saying on board, because my friend's next door neighbour a few years ago, he knew she was in and he still went in and hung himself. And my friend's never been the same since, because his wife came home the next morning and walked in and seen him. He was after hanging himself from the attic. And unfortunately, where the attic was, his body would have been facing his daughter's bedroom door. And thankfully, the daughter wasn't home. And she, my friend heard the wife screaming and ran in. And she, to try and calm down out this house that they were living in, had very high ceilings. So my friend told the emergency department, she said, look, I can't come. She said, he's going to squash me if I try and come.
And that unfortunately, yeah, that unfortunately is where somebody like that, that firefighter actually comes in. And
yeah, like my friend, she was so mad at him. And I completely understand why, because he actually knocked into my friend to see what she was up to that night. And she was like, oh, you know, I'm just sitting in. And he was like, okay, well, I'm next door. And he still went and done it. He had made that choice for himself.
So that brings us back to the argument in favour of assisted suicide.
Yes.
It could be done in a much more dignified way without leaving that sort of trauma behind. And I know that message...
I'm just more shocked by that message saying it's selfish. Like, that is...
Because of the way
in
which it's done.
I know you understand that, but somebody who's in that mind frame isn't... All they can think of is escaping the pain that they're living with. They're not... Somebody who does that or contemplates doing that, they're not a well person. They're not somebody who's thinking like a rational person. They're somebody who's in...
Well, again, you could argue that if somebody goes through all the way to the end with this clinic process, then they really want to go. It's not a harsh... rash decision.
Do you know what? I hold my hands up. You got me. Because I can't argue. It doesn't sit right with me. I still don't like the idea.
We often think of somebody who dies by suicide that it was a rash decision. It was an off-the-moment decision. And if they'd had time to think about it or talk to somebody, they wouldn't have done it. Mm. And in a lot of cases, that could be correct. If you choose to go to a clinic like Maureen did, and by the time you get there and you spend a night there and the next morning you wake up and you say, that's it, I'm happy to get out of here. You're in... Jackie, you're on Opinions Matter. Hiya, Jackie.
Hello.
How are you,
Hello.
Jackie? Sorry for keeping you waiting so long. What did you want to say on this?
That's all right. I've listened to a lot here. And, I worked with suicide intervention for a long time. And I have a partner who's crippled. He can't sit. He can only lie down. He's on morphine. Like, really, a lot of morphine every day to kill the pain from a truck running into his car. And he was a very positive person. He was very active, and he's still positive when he's not in pain. And he asked me there last month, he said, I have enough morphine pills to kill me. Would you assist me? And I said, no, I won't. I'll do it with you.
You'll do it with him?
Yeah. Because I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had a good life, very tough. I've gone through addictions, mental health, everything. I don't think suicide is selfish, because I know from so many people who took their life that they could not take any more. It's not a selfish thing. But everybody has their opinion.
Okay, but some people, like that firefighter, believe that the devastation and destruction that's left behind is what makes it somewhat selfish.
Yes, it is. That is very painful. But the person who's going to do it, they don't think of that. They're in so much pain. They want to go. They can't take anymore.
Okay, so let me just come back to you for one second, Jackie. And you said to your partner, and if you, you know, if you think about your partner, I have a mental image in my head of what he lives through. You can understand how somebody like him might have had enough. Okay. For you, though, a lot of people will say you're of sound mind. Where there's life, there's hope. So why would you even contemplate giving up? And in fact, Katie, that was the point you made earlier on. Your argument earlier on was where there's life, there's hope.
But Jackie, you want to live. You want to live, do you?
No, she's fed up.
No, well, to be honest with you, I'm hanging on in here. I just find it's very tough. My health is getting bad. I don't want to go into a nursing home. I want to live the best I can, or for as long as I can, you know. But when my partner said, "Will you assist me?" I said, "No, I can't do that to you. I'll do it with you." And I meant it. And I do mean it.
So what was your partner's reply to that?
He didn't. I think he was in shock, you know. But the thing is like, I don't see him doing it on his own. I see him very shortly or soon enough. It got so bad because the medical help couldn't help him in Ireland. They had to send him to another country, which I go back and forth. It's just very difficult.
What this raises, Jackie, again, is this conversation about assisted suicide, okay? The lady that we, I don't know if you heard yesterday's podcast, but the lady we spoke about had made a decision that she wanted to die, and she wanted to die in a dignified way, so much so she travelled all the way to Basel in Switzerland in order to die a dignified death, at least as she thought. Do you think we should enable people to do that here? In other words, to die peacefully by their own hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in theory then,
how many people have died horrific deaths taking their own life?
Absolutely.
Because they didn't take enough drugs.
Have you been in touch with any like helplines or, you know, volunteer groups or the Samaritans Pieta House? Because from listening to you and from speaking to you, I would genuinely be very concerned for you.
No, I wouldn't be concerned at all. I'm doing all right at the moment, but I think I've just had enough of life.
There is help out
there. No, there isn't. I'm sorry. I went through the mental health. It's a load of crap.
I know.
Again, Katie and Jackie, obviously I would urge you not to do anything rash at all. And I would urge you to stay with us and to try and live a good life with your partner. And I know that's very difficult on both of you. But, Katie, I want to go back again to a person's right. A person's right to decide.
But I'm thinking of Jackie here, who I'm speaking to. And Jackie, you sound like such a lovely lady and so together and so with it and so intelligent, and you've everything going for you. You know, I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not in this mind frame and I can't understand what it's like to be in that mind frame. But what I'm saying to you is that while you're still breathing and your heart is still beating, there's always, you know, hope. Things can get better. Things do get better. I know people who've had, you know, from my job and a show I did a while ago, some years ago, about it was all surrounding suicide and mental health. Yeah. It was the stigma. And I spoke to a guy on the show. He actually runs, and it's amazing if you're out in Bray. His name is Matt Keenan, the Anxious Lad. But Matt spoke so openly about he went out one day with the intention of taking his own life. And Matt, thanks be to God, is still here with us saying, do you know what he does now? He trains people in how to help people who are saying, you know, exhibiting signs of wanting to take their own lives or people who have depression. This guy had a full mental breakdown. He was ready to do it. And now he has it all, you know?
I totally understand exactly what you're saying to Jackie here, okay? And I'm very conscious that Jackie has clearly said, you know, one day, myself and my partner might go together.
Concerning.
No, it is concerning. I'm not arguing that point. The point I'm arguing is, should Jackie or anybody else not have the right to decide whether you're concerned or not, sorry, Katie, I understand your concern, but I've had enough.
I think bystanders have a duty to try and do whatever they can to stop
that outcome. So you force somebody to stay alive?
No, not force. I mean, if all other avenues have been explored and, you know, these clinics... I don't know, genuinely, but I know, well, Jackie, you were speaking to Jackie.
Sorry, Katie, I've explored so much. I'm 65 years old, right? I've had enough. I've had enough. And I tell you, I'll go down shopping and I'll be smiling at everybody. I am intelligent. I'm still active. But I have had to wait 3 years for a doctor to give me the results of something that's going to kill me. And I'm very angry.
I have to be honest, this is just...
No, and Jackie, my heart goes out to you, it really does. And
It's just awful to hear someone...
But I don't think Jackie's looking for sympathy. Are you, Jackie?
No. Oh, Jesus, no. Oh, no.
Is there no way you could see things?
I know exactly how I'm going to do it.
Okay, but you needn't tell us.
No, and I'll be gone to another country and do it.
Jackie, would you be able to take a call from us after the show today?
No, because it's all right. I'm still, look, I'm active, I'm painting, I'm second, I'm with my dogs, I'm with people. I just made a decision.
Okay, Katie, again, this comes back to the argument about Maureen and her decision to travel to Switzerland to take her life. I'm not in any way condoning that. I don't even know if I would be in support of assisted suicide here in Ireland. I'm merely playing the devil's advocate argument of... You don't own Jackie.
If Jackie
wants to make that decision, that is her God-given right to make that decision.
It is absolutely her right.
Is that the point you're trying to make, Jackie?
Yes. That's the point. And I hear what that girl is saying. What's your name, Lucy?
No, Katie. Katie.
Katie.
Katie.
Do you never see things
getting better,
ever?
I hear you. I worked in the mental health for years. I was always out there trying to help people. But it's got to the stage in my life, it's like, really, I've had enough. And
you don't
it's okay.
See it, you don't see it ever changing. You know, if I'm not going to patronise it.
No, it's not going to get worse. No. Because I'm not going into a nursing home and get plugged in and get abused. I'm not going to do it. No.
Jackie, in the meantime, keep up your painting. Keep up smiling at the shopping centre.
And
keep up looking after your partner, because it sounds like he does need your support.
He will, and I'm happy with him, and I'm delighted to have him, you know.
Okay, that's a positive outlook. Keep thinking positive.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much having me on the radio.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
And that's what this conversation is really about, Katie.
But
that is
just a woman on saying.
That is, she's not saying, she didn't say she's going to do it today.
It doesn't matter.
She didn't say she's going to do it anytime soon, even.
But
it's just she's.
And we're not going to call her up after.
She reserves, so she doesn't want you to phone her. She made it quite clear she doesn't want a phone call from you. She
from
said
somebody
that.
On the team.
Our number is 085-825-2626. Dave.
All right, lads. While I might agree with euthanasia stuff for life-limiting illnesses, or, you know, people are going to spend the last few weeks or months in excruciating pain, so if somebody just wants to off themselves and we let them, it doesn't sit right. I mean, like, it's a cop-out. Why can't we just make the mental health services better and a statistic of 500 people might drop? We don't have the services in place to look after these people as it is. And they were saying, well, you know, if you're going to go that way, should we let you anyway? No, I agree with euthanasia stuff for people who are dying or whatever, but I don't think if someone says, I want to kill myself, we should just go, okay, well, off with you. Because there are so many people who attempted suicide and said they're so happy in the end that they didn't do it.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Helen.
My mom, when she was of sane mind, asked me if ever she had a stroke or anything that made her a vegetable would help her. She had her own stash of medication, but if she couldn't do it, would I help her? Obviously, I said I would, but it's against the law. I would have preferred for her to be able to do it herself, and for me to encourage and help her and hold her hand while she could do it. Because for me to do it, it's against the law. But if I saw her in that state, would I have helped her?
Probably.
Jason, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Jason?
How's it doing, Adrian? How are we getting on, sir? Long time no here.
Indeed. It's a heavy conversation, but it's a conversation that we need to have.
Do you know something? I could go deep. I was in that position. I was, and I tried it. Can I ask Katie one thing?
Go on.
Yeah, go on.
Your body, your choice?
Yeah.
So if you want to kill the baby inside you, you have the choice to do it, yeah? Perfectly healthy, unborn baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a woman that is in that much pain, that doesn't say...
Would
you literally try to convince her? Would you put that much effort into trying to convince your best friend not to kill her baby? Or would you say your body, your choice?
It's very hard when there's...
No, I'm asking you. But this is an old... This is a child that hasn't been born, that has never experienced the world. And now you have a woman on there. And by the way, I text in, no, I'm against euthanasia. But I have to listen to that woman.
I know. Look, I get the point. I said to Adrian, everything he's saying...
Katie. 12-year-old boy wants to be a girl. You all for letting him cut off his healthy bits?
No,
but is it not his body, his choice?
No, not at 12 years old, no.
No, okay. 18, 19, 20-year-old girl comes here, boy, okay, I want to end my life.
That's their choice if that's what they want to do. But I
there
think,
you go. Why try and convince this? Now, I'm out. Hey, Katie, you've seen the text message I sent in for us. And by the way, I was there. My father found me, okay? Because I'd lost everything. You know about my story, Adrian, don't you? You know, I lost everything.
I know a fair bit about it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I tried to take the whole lot and give my kids a better start. Okay. My father got me and turned me around and told me, I don't care, son. I don't want to see you in pain. As your father, I'd rather see you there, not in pain. But look at them four over there. They have to grow up and know that it's their fault that you're there.
No, so, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Saying
so I
Jay.
Went through that. I got something to live for, Katie. I understand that. But when people are at this lowest part of their life, I mean, we wouldn't keep a dog alive.
No,
okay?
I understand. No, and I know what you're saying. And I did say to Adrian, I can't argue with anything he's saying. He has made his points extremely well. And I am very conflicted today, but I still think...
like me. And now, Katie, I text you and said no. When you text about this, what was my one word?
No, you're against.
No, but I am, as a Christian.
So the argument that I've been making, Jay, is, and this is the point I've been saying to Katie, you own your body. It's yours, nobody else. Nobody else owns it.
Apparently so.
Comparing abortion to suicide, though, is very...
No, it's still taking of a life. It's still not the Katie. You tried to convince this grown woman who's in her 60s to change her mind. But would you do it to a perfectly healthy 20-year-old that has a perfectly grown baby inside her body?
Are we
would
really
you
getting to the stage in the world where we have someone saying, you know, I want to die, my life is terrible.
Why not? Is it not your, life? Is it not your body, your choice? And what makes you think core life is as good as yours?
Let me address the baby thing, okay? The baby and the abortion thing is very different. Because when,
how is it?
Because it is different. If my friend comes to me and she's crying, oh, I have an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. It's different because that baby hasn't been born yet, right?
Oh, so we don't give it a chance.
No, hang on. I'm not saying, I've never said how I feel about the abortion referendum. I've never said it on air. I don't think I have, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, the baby's life is meaningless, but it's very different from an emotional point of view. If you have someone in front of you saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to take my own life, because you can convince that person who you already love and care about.
Katie.
Or you feel like maybe you can convince them. You can't always.
Katie, that's why laws ain't written with emotions.
That's very true. Let me ask you then, Jay.
Emotion takes over.
Initially, when you heard this conversation, you said no.
No. Okay. I'm a Christian. I'm a full on, you know that. After what I went through, I believe in that.
Okay, so do you believe that God owns your body?
I believe you own your body. I think God is your spiritual light. I think Muhammad is your spiritual light. Whatever religion. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from, Adrian. I'm not coming from it from that.
I don't know if you heard yesterday's podcast.
I didn't, sorry, I was busy.
Okay, it's a really sad story of a 58-year-old woman from Cavan who travelled all the way to Switzerland in full health and went to a clinic in Switzerland and ended her own life. Now, it's legal in Switzerland. Assisted suicide is legal. We're asking, should it be here?
Adrian, as I said, we wouldn't let a dog suffer, but we let a human suffer. The Christian in me says, no, every life is precious. the liberal in me, as a father of daughters, my daughter should have the right to choose. Can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. As somebody who tried to take that way out a long, long time ago, I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad my father had the insight to come and fucking find me.
And I'm glad you didn't as well, because you're a great father on our podcast.
I wouldn't have these four that I'm looking at today and my partner today. I wouldn't, you know, that way. But in that moment in time, Adrian, excuse me, I seen no other out.
Here's another one of my arguments for assisted dying, assisted suicide. Unlike, say, for example, at that moment in your life, you really wanted to...
But that was a mental thing, Adrian. That wasn't a medical thing.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. But at that moment in time, you wanted to die, okay?
I thought that the best course for my family was if I wasn't there, because I was convinced by somebody else I was no good.
And again, I understand all of that, okay?
So is that coercive control?
It is.
Adrian? What I'm saying, somebody was convincing me that I was no good and I would be better off for everybody else if I was, and I got that into my head. But it was when somebody else came along then and convinced me, no, your life is still better.
Jason, the point that I'm trying to make here is, if we had the facility of assisted suicide here in Ireland, like that lady went to do in Switzerland, it's a longer process. You have to give it a much more thought. It's not a spur of the minute decision. And ultimately something that you might decide in the end, actually, I don't want to do this, where a spur of the moment decision only for there was an interjection with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here today talking to you, Adrian.
But if we had assisted suicide and you decided to go down that road, it would take a few weeks to get it organised and to give you the opportunity to perhaps change your mind.
But is it a mental or a medical? See, what's going on in the likes of these liberal countries, the likes of Canada and all, that they are actually letting young people that just have mental disorders. And we all know a mental disorder can be here today and gone tomorrow. We all know that. Anybody who suffered from that, So that's where I'm caught, Adrian.
Okay.
If you're dying, sorry, Adrian, for cutting across, I do apologize. If you're dying of cancer and you are literally going to spend the next 6 months rotting away in front of you.
I think most people agree with that, okay?
Yeah,
I think most
people agree. If it's a mental illness and you're just having a bad run of fucking things. I had it for a couple of years. But now look at me, I'm 20 years since that incident.
Making my point then.
Okay, but let me go back to that.
Medical Adrian, I'd be all for it.
Okay, let me go back to that lady, Jackie. That lady, Jackie, we spoke to a moment ago, sounded perfectly fine fettle, in full...
She's having she's having a bad run of things, and unfortunately, if we're going to let women kill healthy babies, why can't we let healthy people kill themselves?
And that's exactly the point.
But you can see where I'm conflicted, Katie. You can't see where I'm conflicted.
Well, same. I'm conflicted too. It's a very, very difficult one to.
It is.
It's not black and white.
Let me bring in some more calls, and this is a huge reaction to this conversation. This is Ellie.
Hey guys, really interesting topic today. I listened yesterday, and honestly, me heart broke for that girl that was on. On the other side, I do kind of agree with, if you want to make that decision for yourself, it should be available, but obviously with proper safeguards in place. Like what happened to that woman that was on yesterday, that should have never happened. Like they should have had to have actually spoken directly with her family. But I don't think taking people's choice away is right either. Like I don't think if we have these clinics and the proper safeguards are in place, people aren't just going to walk in off the street and just end it on a whim, you know? And one massive problem as well is Ireland has terrible health service and terrible mental health service. It's nearly impossible for some people to access the mental health services they need. If we were to bring that in and people, you know, wanted to opt out of life, basically, due to mental health issues, there should be something where they're able to get proper mental health treatment for an extended period of time and see if that changes their mind before they can go ahead with ending their own life. I think it's better than people just deciding that's it, I'm done. And you see all these posts, people gone missing for a weekend, then they find a body in the river or in the forest or whatever. Like, I think it's a much kinder way to go for them to be able to make that decision. But I think it's something that there'd need to be safeguards in place. And if people want to do it because of their mental health issues, they should have the correct, proper access to mental health services as it is for an extended period to see if them getting the help they actually need might change their mind. But yeah, it's a tough one, but good topic today.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Dylan, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Dylan?
Hi, guys. How are we?
Good, thanks, Dylan. What did you want to say on this?
I sent the message in to Katie there. I'm engaged in search and rescue. I'm doing it now for the last 4 years. It's just a small team of us. We usually help other teams that are set up around the country. Since we set up, we've been to Carlow, Dublin, Meath, Wicklow and Strabane up the north. The knock-on effects that suicides have on families, it's devastating to not only the families, but the local communities and everyone that's engaged in the search for the missing person.
And this is one thing that firefighter said in a message that he sent in earlier on, is the devastation left behind.
Yes, and I'm also surprised, you probably can't mention it, but the suicide rate among first responders even is ridiculously high because of the stuff that they deal with.
And in fact, I've spoken in the past to, for example, a train driver who during the course of his career had to deal with 4 different suicides of people jumping out in front of his train, that he had to give up his career. He had to pack it in. He just couldn't cope anymore.
Awful.
And it is, and that's the devastation left behind as well.
Yeah.
So let me ask you then, Dylan, from what you've seen and from the devastation that you've seen left behind by somebody taking their lives, how do you feel about a more dignified assisted suicide being available to people?
I'm the same as Katie. I'm very conflicted on whether to say yeah or no. I think this government should hang their head in shame. The healthcare system in this country is terrible. The mental health system in this country is borderline non-existent. You have people waiting years to get an appointment to see a mental health specialist. And that's just an initial assessment. It's not even, let's get started on the issue. It's, let's sit down and see what the issues could be. And, oh, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? There needs to be reform on the mental health system in Ireland, and it needs to be made more accessible.
But some people eventually get to a point in their life, like that lady Jackie. Now, she, I'm not fearful of Jackie taking her life anytime soon, listening to her. I think it's in her longer term plan.
Someone is living like that, you know.
But the point I was about to make is, you know, some people do reach a stage, Dylan, where they've just had enough. And they're of perfectly sound mind. They just have had enough.
But somebody who decides they've had enough, could they be of sound mind if they want to take their own lives?
They'd be in a stage of crisis.
That's what I mean. Is somebody who's thinking about taking their own life, they'd be in a stage of, they can't be of sound mind.
Somebody like
Shirley. They'd have sound mind, but they wouldn't think clearly.
Again, is deciding you don't want to live anymore a sign that you're not of sound mind?
And by the way, just to say there, that job Dylan does, that's not your full-time career, is it? That's a voluntary thing, isn't it?
No, that's completely voluntary.
Do you know what? Fair play, because I don't think many people ever say to search and the rescue or anything, because the fire brigades and the ambulances, oh, they're great. But even the work you guys do is incredible.
It's incredible,
and nobody actually thinks about what you guys are also witnessing and the devastation you're witnessing through families, through finding bodies, through everything. So, you know, fair play, because it takes a very special kind of person to do that kind of job. I couldn't do it.
But the point that you were making, Dylan, is the impact that suicide has on people like you and people working in search and rescue is quite devastating as well.
It is, yeah.
And that is because, if I may suggest, that you are finding people who've died mostly by a violent death. With assisted dying, with assisted suicide, it's not a violent death. It's a very peaceful, calm way to go. But you're as conflicted.
I can't argue that. I can say it would be quite calm and peaceful. I've seen it when they were first introducing it in Sweden. The videos that they had up of the pod and the real serene setting that they have, it looks peaceful. But the one argument that I'd say is suicides lead to suicide.
Thanks for your call, Martin. Dylan, and thank you for everything that you do as well in search and rescue. Fair play to you. Thank you. And let me squeeze in one final call, and that's you, Martin. You're on Opinions Matter.
Thanks for having me on, guys. That's a great lad there. That
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Just there on it, my thoughts is, if it's a medical thing, then wholeheartedly, I've always said to my wife, you know, if I, God forbid, if I ever get something like motor neuron disease or Parkinson's or dementia, something that you're never going to come back from, then just, you know, help me out. But my thing is then with that, you're not going to, your insurance isn't going to pay out. You're going to leave your family without a pot to piss in. Like, I'd want my kids to remember me as I am. Like, you know, like I had an uncle that had severe Parkinson's there. He died about 6 years ago. The last time I seen him, he was just lay there. You know, either do not resuscitate order on him. And I ordered, the best thing I could have done for him that day was put a pillow over his face because he was just lying there, you know. But if you are suffering mental health and you feel like you shouldn't be here anymore, then I don't think that should be available to you. There needs to be more things.
Okay, but what, Martin, if you've just decided, and it's nothing to do with poor mental health, I'm just fed up.
But if you make that decision, then your mental health would be in a poor place. That's what I would think. If you make the decision that the only way to have any enjoyment or to escape this torture and you can't have any enjoyment, then I would argue that is a mental health issue. Somebody who is of sound mind and is, you know,
has to enjoy life. It's the law that you have to enjoy life.
If things are so bad on earth that you want to do the unthinkable and go to the unthinkable, because nobody knows what happens after you do it, let's be honest.
No.
It's a scary thought and it's coming for all of us, no matter what. But the point is that if they're thinking that this is the only other option, then I would argue that they can't be of sound mind.
So, again, I'll put it to you. You have to love life. You have to love life.
Nobody wakes up every day and says, oh, my life is great. I love life. Or, well, if you do, then, you know, delighted for you. But
you can go through phases in your life.
You can go through ups and downs.
Like.
And, you know, you'll have hard times, you'll have good times. But the point is that if this is the only way you see out of whatever,
that's a sign your mental health is in a bad place.
Yes, obviously. If death is your only option, yes.
So, Martin, you were in favour of some form of assisted dying for somebody who's terminally ill, but nothing other than that?
No, definitely not. Like, more money needs to be put into mental health services. I think there is a way out for anyone out there that's thinking about it. There is a way out. You just have to hit rock bottom, I think. And if somebody's rock bottom is thinking about killing themselves, then, you know, they've hit it. They can bounce back from it. But no matter what is happening in your life, you can come back from it.
Thanks for your call, Martin. And thank you, all of you, for your calls. A very different, slightly heavy conversation, but one, it's well worth having.
It's probably simplistic for me, or I can come across as it's very simplistic, because thankfully, I've never been in that situation where I've thought this is the only way I can deal with this. But I would take that somebody who is contemplating doing that, their mental health must be in a very bad place, because the thought of death is scary. Let's be honest, it's terrifying. And if we were to sit down and think about it, I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole, you know?
Let me bring in one final WhatsApp voice note from Keith.
Look, this day and age, we've so much things there, you know, like fucking puberty blockers, things all like that. And then we have people who is, you know, pushing people into this. It's okay if somebody wants to go do something like that. That's their choice. You want to go do it. But if somebody is advocating and saying, oh, yeah, Jesus, like, go do it, it's because them psychos want to see somebody off themselves. We can understand that there's certain sicknesses out there that people just, you know, bedridden or whatever like that. And they just want to go. But then we have other ticks out there who think that they're doing the right thing by, you know, supporting people. They can, you know, putting it into their heads, not supporting them. Supporting them is one thing, but, you know, bringing it up and talking them into doing it, that's what you'd be very fucking careful of.
All right, Keith, thank you very much indeed for your message, and thank you, all of you, for your messages. By the way, if you've been affected by anything that we have spoken about on this podcast, The Samaritans are there 24/7 to help you, and their number is 116123. 116123 if you would like to contact the Samaritans. I hope you enjoyed this very different episode of Opinions Matter. If you did, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the little bell icon on Spotify, and that way you'll get a notification each and every time we upload a new episode. I'm Adrian, that's Katie. Thank you for listening to Opinions Matter, and we'll catch you on the next one.